Hallelujah. Amen, amen, and amen. So good to see each and every one of you this morning. May the Lord continue to bless you and keep you. Once again, we greet the visitors that are with us. Such an honor to have you with us this morning. If you don't have a place that you call your home of worship, we invite you then to make Elohim Christian Church your home of worship. Amen. We just thank those who have been serving since early this morning, those who have opened the building, those who work upstairs, our worship team, our van drivers, our greeters, our ushers. You guys all do such a wonderful job. May the Lord bless you and keep you. Just want to make a few announcements before we get into the teaching of the word. And yesterday, a group of us had the privilege of being at Mahanaim, Camp Mahanaim. Most of you know that's our district camp where we hold different events. And there was an education convention, which they had 2,600 people register from our district, Sunday school teachers, Bible Institute teachers, School of Theology teachers and students. It's a very, very nice event. It was really a blessing, and they had breakouts for everybody there. But during the event, they honored churches that gave to BGMC. BGMC is a division of the Missions Department for National Offices that give to, that cultivate missions within children's ministry. And they lift up money for missionaries, for Assemblies of God missionaries. And BGMC has a focus where they buy vehicles for missionaries, and they also buy equipment and things like that for missionaries. So BGMC doesn't hand missionaries money, but they give them things, mostly vehicles. In fact, we have missionaries, the Stuchis, there in Tanzania, East Africa, and they just received a brand new 4x4 given to them by BGMC. So that's pretty cool. And I have known other Assemblies of God missionaries that drive brand new cars because BGMC has, it's more of a loaner for them as long as they're in the mission field. Once they transition from that place, usually Springfield will take the car back and give it to another missionary for that location. But so BGMC is an awesome ministry that they've been around for decades, and they do an amazing job. And again, that's one of the Assemblies of God ministries. So when we collect the BGMC, know that they are doing a phenomenal job. And in our church, under the leadership of our Sunday school department, Sister Jamie and primarily Sister Addis, we lifted up some funds for BGMC. We actually lifted up $1,132.50 in 2017. And that was our children who raised that money. They have their BGMC barrels, right? Their buddy barrels, and those yellow barrels that we all know as parents very well, right? And within our division, I say the size of our church. So they break up the different sizes of different churches. And within our division, the size of our church came in 19th place in the United States. I don't know how many churches are in our division. I want to say probably somewhere about 1,000 or so, but I am guessing there, so don't quote me on that. But on behalf of our district and BGMC ministry, we submit this to Addis. I didn't see her in the Sunday school department. So that's pretty cool. And I'm thankful for them who have that heart. And I just want to share also that Missions is doing a phenomenal job, as Jose mentioned, and Sean even ratifies. And some of you may not know this, but in 2017, our Missions Department budgeted $20,000 to help build a church in Monterrey, Ecuador, right? And those $20,000 have been sent, and that building is currently now starting to go up. And that's why Sean mentioned, hopefully in the fall, we're going to go for a few days and inaugurate the building. So last year, the missions ministry, through your givings, was able to budget that money, and this year we have sent it. So we're thankful for that. So that's a really nice thing. And July 1st is a Sunday, and July 8th is also a Sunday, where we're going to have two missionaries that we are now supporting. They're going to come, and they're going to be our preachers that day, so you'll be able to get to know them a little bit more one-on-one. So that's also a pretty nice thing. And as Sean said, we're looking to give our blessing for a church plant in Moca, DR. And Rofi is a member of our church. He's had a foundation in this place for many years, and now they have a pastor there. And they, as you saw, he himself, throughout the years, has been able to build a building, a temple. And with the help of the Lord, the blessing of the Lord in our church. We want to go there, and we want to just inaugurate that place as Elohim Christian Church, Mocha DR. And Lord willing, that'll happen in the month of August, as Sean has mentioned. So keep those things in prayer. And I say those things to let you know that, you know, we take one Sunday a month to make announcements with regard to missions, but there's some wonderful things happening through your offerings. We have a budget of about $1,400 a month committed to missionaries that we give, and those missionaries are just really doing a wonderful job. And I'm always praying, Lord, enlighten us into who you want us to support. And I hope one day that we have a budget of $3,000 or $4,000 a month that we are serving and partnering and supporting missionaries and missions work, church plantings. So help me pray for that. And the church says, amen. Amen. So once again, we just are excited about missions in our church and what God is doing. I'm going to invite you to stand and let's open up our Bibles to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. So today is Pentecost Sunday. Pentecost Sunday is celebrated once a year, 7 weeks after Easter. 49 days, on the 50th day, is Day of Pentecost. So on the seventh Sunday after Easter, we celebrate Pentecost. So we give an emphasis to the gift of the Spirit, the blessing of the Holy Spirit upon our lives, the baptism of the Holy Spirit upon our lives. And this morning, I'd like to speak to you on the theme, the need for Pentecost, or the need of Pentecost. Each and every one of us, we are a Pentecostal church, and we believe in the pneuma, in the ministry of the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God that moves and lives within us and seals us and empowers us, convicts us, comforts us, strengthens us each and every day. And we believe as a Pentecostal church that 2,000 years ago, God poured out his Spirit upon us and he empowered the church as he commissioned the church. And let's read that story. Acts chapter 2. Follow me in these next few verses. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all gathered together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now, they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. And when they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our own native language? Verse 13 now. Some, however, made fun of them and said, they have had too much wine. Verse 14. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It is only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God said, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Your old men will dream dreams. Let us stop right there. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word, for it is a light for us. It is our compass in life. It leads us and guides us. Father, we thank you for your Holy Spirit that helps us each day. Father, I pray that you would speak into our hearts this morning. Remind us of truth. Engage us in what you call us to be engaged in. Help us, Lord, to long for your Spirit, desire your will, and live in your commissioning, O God. We thank you for this time this morning. I pray that you would just place anointing upon me for this hour. We pray in Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. Pentecost Sunday. The need of Pentecost. The need of Pentecost. As a car needs gas to run, the church needs the Spirit of Pentecost to move it. If we don't have the spirit of Pentecost, then we just sit there and we do not function as the power of God, the power of God, the church of God. If we don't have gas in the car, then it is useless to us. It only looks good. It only has a nice presentation. It only sits there, but it's useless. And a church without the power of God, without the spirit of Pentecost, without the moving of the Holy Spirit, it is also useless. It may look good. It may sound good. It may have a good presentation, but it is useless. It is the power of the Holy Spirit that makes the difference in the church. So the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2. So the day of Pentecost, or the celebration of Pentecost, was a celebration, it was a feast. They also called it the Feast of the Weeks. It was a feast where all the Jews come back to Jerusalem. All the Jews that had been scattered to the other cities and other nations, they would gather in Jerusalem for a festival, for a feast, for a celebration. And it was Pentecost. It was the opportunity to give God thanks for the first fruit of the ground. And they would gather the first harvest of the ground. They would gather it and they would give it unto the Lord. It was Pentecost. It was the celebration of the weeks. For 7 weeks they gathered and they celebrated. And here, as we know through the story of Easter, Jesus, he was crucified and resurrected on the Passover weekend. And now 40 days have gone by, and during those 40 days, he would show up. He was the first fruit of the ground. We also will follow one day, right? But he was the Feast of the Weeks. He was the first fruit of the ground. And the Bible says that he showed up to many. In fact, Paul writes over 500 got to see him. And for 40 days after Passover, Jesus was seen on the earth. And then we know the ascension. The ascension happened on the 40th day where Jesus went into heaven and the disciples saw him. And there the great commissioning was given to the disciples. And Jesus told them these words, "Stay in Jerusalem until I have sent the Comforter, the Advocate." And the word there in the original language means someone just like me. Now, you and I, because we have 2,000 years of Christian history, we know today that that is the Holy Spirit of God. But at that moment, they didn't really know what that meant. In fact, they were probably thinking someone like Jesus would descend from heaven and they would see it. And Jesus would send one just like him to walk with them. So they are being obedient, understanding that Jesus said, "Don't leave Jerusalem until I have empowered you with the Comforter, with my Holy Spirit," right? We understand that. And they go into the upper room during the celebration of Pentecost. During the celebration of the feast, they go into the upper room. The Bible says it's about 120 of them. And for 10 days, they prayed. And on the 10th day, the last day of Pentecost, as we read, the Holy Spirit descended upon them like tongues of fire. And they were baptized in the Holy Spirit. They were filled with the Holy Spirit, baptized, immersed in the Holy Spirit. And they spoke in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. And those other tongues were all languages. And we know that they were languages because the people understood, the people who were celebrating the feast, they had understood the praises of God in their own language. So they understood the praises of God in their own language, and that was the miracle for them, because they were saying, "How is it that these people know our language? They're Galileans." But because the Holy Spirit came upon them, he baptized them in a known language to them at that hour. Yes, and I know that there are heavenly languages, but at this moment in Acts chapter 2, it was known languages where they heard the declarations in a language that they were familiar with, the declarations, the praises of God. And why is this important? Because it reminds us that Pentecost is about the great commissioning. You see, Jesus told them, "Wait until you have received power. Don't leave Jerusalem. Don't go to the end of the earth," although that was the great commissioning to go to the end of the earth. But wait, don't go until you receive what? Power from on high. Understanding that Pentecost is about the great commissioning. That God gave them the mandate, but he didn't send them in their own strength. He says, I'm going to send one just like me, as I have encouraged you and empowered you. One just like me will encourage and empower you as well. And once you have received him, then go forward in the great commissioning. And Pentecost reminds us of the great commissioning. Why? Because it met every language of that place, indicating that it was for all people. And the church says, so Pentecost marked the turning point in early church, in the early church. Remember, it was the time when they didn't know what to expect, but Christ sends them the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit came upon them and reminded them that they are not alone, that Jesus was still with them in the ministry of the Holy Spirit. God's power was poured upon their life. They were empowered. It was a confirmation of what Jesus had said. It encouraged their faith. Have you ever had a word spoken to you, and then when it comes about, it just encourages your faith, right? Just reminds you of how awesome and mighty God has encouraged their faith. It was a confirmation of the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophet Joel when he said this very thing would happen. And it now separated the church from every other religious organization. It separated. It was a distinctive now. There was something different about us. We spoke heavenly language. There was interpretations of tongues. There was miracles and powers. There was prophetic word. There was words of wisdom. There was words of knowledge. There was faith. There was healing. There was distinguishing between different gifts, different spirits. These are the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And now the church was different. It wasn't just an organized set of rules, but now it was the active power of God that flew through his people. The filling of the Holy Spirit is for the church of all generations. It was for them, and it is for us as well. When one is filled with the Spirit, you enjoy a victorious life over temptation, over sin, a life of joy and peace, but you also receive power. Power to witness, power for miracles, power to live the life that God has called you to live, power to embrace the great commissioning. Because we have understood that the Holy Spirit upon our life empowers us for the very thing that God has told us to do. You see, many of us know what God has told us to do, but we don't have the oomph to do it. We don't have the boldness to do it. And if I can say respectfully, is because we haven't cultivated enough of the Holy Spirit within our lives to give us the boldness and the energy and the commitment to do the very thing that God has called us to do. When we fail at the things that God has commissioned us in, it's because we've tried to do it in our own nature. We've tried to do it in our own flesh. And because of that, we have failed at the things that God has commissioned us in. But if God has commissioned us to do something, then he will give us the power and the authority and the influence and the favor that we need to get that very thing done. And if we fail at it, it cannot be God's fault. It must be ours. And the church says, I want to encourage you. The need of Pentecost. Our city needs the Pentecostal church. Our community needs the Pentecostal church. ECC needs the Pentecostal church. Our family needs the Pentecostal church, because even if the gifts flow through us, we encourage ourselves, and that's good, but it's the Pentecostal church that can change the world. It's the church that understands the call. The church that understands the call that we have been empowered, not just for us, but we've been empowered to fulfill the great commissioning that has been entrusted to us to go to all nations and baptizing and discipling them. We need the Pentecostal church. And I love, you know, being raised in a Pentecostal church, we've always been taught, go look for the baptism. Go look. Go seek. And I understand the language, But I think that sometimes it's misunderstanding. There's a misunderstanding. We go look for something that we don't know where it is. We seek something that we don't know where it is. So we look, I can't find the remote control. We scatter through our sofas looking for the remote control. The Holy Spirit, though, we know where it is. The Bible says that we are, that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in us when you received from God. We are. So we know that the Holy Spirit dwells within us. The Bible tells us not to get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but what? Be filled with the Spirit. I love that Paul tells Timothy, for this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you. There is a reminder to us that we have it. Once we have come to Christ, we are sealed with the Holy Spirit. He's there. He's in our hearts. Once we have confessed Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit dwells within us. But we must cultivate the working of the Holy Spirit within us. We must cultivate it. Because although the Spirit of God lives within us, the sinful nature also does as well. And we know that because the Bible says that there's a constant battle within us. So whichever one we have empowered will be the one that will rule in our lives. And if we empower the sinful nature, then the sinful nature rules in our life. And that's when we find ourselves falling in sin and temptation and not being able to overcome. And we find ourselves holding on to envy and not being able to forgive. And we find ourselves cursing or lying or cheating or stealing, right? Because the sinful nature has dominated in our lives. So the fruit that comes from us is what? The sinful nature. But when we have cultivated the Spirit of God within us, right? So now the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, kindness, patience, goodness, right? It's easier to forgive. It's easier to love. It's easier to bless someone. It's easier to be generous. It's easier to deny ourselves. Why? Because we have cultivated the power of God that dwells within us, and the power of God begins to flow from us. And the fruit of the Spirit is what reigns in our lives, right? So we need to empower that, though. And that's what Pentecost did for us. The Holy Spirit comes upon us, and in the way that we live, we are living the Great Commission. So today, briefly, in these next few minutes, I have 6 points I want to share with you. How can we cultivate Pentecost within us then? So we understand how it works. We understand why, briefly, in this intro here, the understanding more. But how can we do that then? Okay, well, how can we cultivate? And I want to look at Acts chapter 2. I want to look at the people, the disciples and the 120 in the upper room. And what can we learn from them? What can we learn that opened up the opportunity for the Holy Spirit of God to come upon them that day, 2,000 years ago? And maybe if we do some of the same things that they did, maybe we'll have some of the same experiences and victories that they had. And the church says, the first thing that we can learn from the 120 is this. How can we embrace the Spirit of Pentecost? The first thing is through steadfast prayer. Steadfast prayer. I love verse 14. It says they all joined together constantly in prayer. They went to the upper room and they prayed. And they were there praying. And they prayed for 10 days. From the moment that Jesus ascended to the day of Pentecost, to the 50th day, it was 10 days. And they went there and they prayed. Where did they learn to pray? They learned it from Jesus. Mark chapter 1, 35 teaches us that before Jesus went out into his ministry, early in the morning, the Bible says, when it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. They learned this from Jesus. When they weren't sure what to do, what did they do? They prayed. In these 10 days, Jesus said, wait for me. Wait until I send the promise, the advocate, the comforter. And what did they do? They prayed. They learned that from Jesus. The Bible says that Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. In hard times, they understood to follow the example of Jesus, and that was to pray. I want to remind you that prayer cultivates fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Remember that prayer cultivates fellowship with the Holy Spirit. It's not this religious discipline that we do because it's something that we just have been taught to do. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done here on earth. It's not something that we do just because we've been taught to do. We understand that there's something that happens within the Spirit of God within us. We cultivate. The Bible says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Ephesians 6:18, right? We understand that. We understand that prayer cultivates a walk and cultivates the Spirit of God within us. Remember, prayer aligns our will with God's will. I love Jeremiah 33:3. Call unto me and I will answer you, and I will tell you great and hidden things that you do not know of. If we want to know the secrets of God's truth for our life, it happens in prayer. See, a prayer aligns our will with God's will. Prayer draws us closer to God. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. If we understand this, something begins to happen to us. Ian Bound says a prayerless Christian will never learn God's truth. So I want to encourage you, if you want Pentecost, power to do God's will in your life, to live the life that God has called you to live the things that you know that he's moving within you, I think that we need to cultivate more prayer in our lives. You know, sometimes we become so institutionalized in our religion that we just stick to rules. You know, I heard somebody speak yesterday at the convention, and it ministered to me. It resonated with me. And we've been taught throughout years rules. But rules, when we can't live up to them, they discourage us greatly. Let us remember relationship with Christ. When we remember relationship with Christ, that'll give us the strength to do the right things. When we compare and understand the grace of God and the mercy of God, the world is not that appealing to us. When we understand the mercy and the grace, when we understand the gospel, rules are not that big to us anymore. Why? Because it's not that appealing to us. Because we've understand grace and mercy and love and faithfulness. We've understand the gospel. So this comes through prayer. I want to encourage you. You know, there are some prayers that are, these prayers are prayers of necessity. In our time of need, we pray. Jesus did it for Lazarus. Lazarus was dead. He prayed. It was a prayer of necessity. It was an interventional prayer, right? There's times when we gather, someone is sick, we intervene in prayer. We gather and we pray, right? We've created the habit of praying over our meals and praying when we start. And those are interventional prayers. God, we pray that right now your will would be done. We pray that right now, God, that you would glorify. Interventional prayers. We pray right now, God, that there would be healing. We pray right now that there would be a working of your power. Interventional prayers. Now, those prayers are wonderful, but those prayers do not cultivate Pentecost. If we want the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, we must spend time with God. Yeah. We must. I think we become an intervention. We become a church, a people, Christians, that we pray out of intervention. Lord, bless our service today. We need you. Lord, bless our children. They need you. Heal us, oh God. And we're praying in intervention because we always need God. And God hears the call of his people. But that's not enough to change the world. To change the world, we need Pentecost. And Pentecost is cultivated through time with God. So I want to encourage you today. Evaluate our lives. Are we taking time out for God? Are we taking time out? Yes, come to our prayer service. We need you here in our prayer service to intervene with us, but take time out with God. Yes, continue the interventional prayers. They're important, but take time out to be with God. I want to encourage you. Your prayer closet, your time of prayer is so important. Use every opportunity that you get. Sometimes we listen to garbage in our cars. We listen to garbage on the train. You know, we're listening to garbage. Take those opportunities and spend it with the Lord and see what God will do in our lives. And the church says, so we're talking about the need for Pentecost and how do we cultivate it. The first one is prayer. The second one is through separation. If you noticed, as we shared the story, all the Jewish people at the time, the Hebrew people at the time, they were all celebrating the Feast of the Weeks. And you can see their mentality when they said, oh, look, those Galileans must be drunk. You can see the mentality. You can see the atmosphere that was happening there. And it's interesting that the 120 choose not to be there. Jesus didn't tell them, go to the upper room and pray and wait there, right? He just told them to wait until they received. They understood through the example of Jesus to go to the upper room and pray, right? It's interesting that they made the decision not to be in the midst of that type of celebration. Yes. And they spend those 10 days in prayer. Pentecost is cultivated through separation. We, as people of God, need to know that God has called us to be different. He's called us to be different. You know, today and age, and I see it sometimes in our younger generation as well, and this desire to be relevant. This desire to be relevant, to look like, to walk like. And maybe we can be more successful if we're more relevant. And I don't have a problem with relevancy. I do believe that there needs to be a sense of relevancy within ministry. But let it not be what's pushing us to win people over for the gospel. Let it not be the influence that we use to push us into God's will. We look at John the Baptist. He was the weirdest of them all and yet brought the greatest message that brought change, right? So let us be careful that relevancy doesn't be what is moving us. You know why? Because relevance pushes us towards tolerance. Tolerance is what we allow. And relevancy begins to push us towards tolerance. You know, we begin to tolerate things now. And we begin to allow things because we want to be relevant. And we begin to allow. And the relevant, tolerant church will never be Pentecostal. It will never be able to change. Never be able to change a community or a people. We have to understand that God is calling us for separation. And that may mean that to others, we will be a little different. That may mean to others, we will be a little different. That may mean to others, we may not be welcomed. And we may not be well received. And we may not be loved. But we understand that God has called us for separation. And the church that wants to be filled with the power of God need to be a church that understands separation. The Bible confirms this. Do not be yoked together with unbelievers. There has to be a separation between the church and the world. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:5, you are the sons of the light and the sons of you are the sons of the light and sons of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. Matthew 5:13 says we are the salt of the earth. The Bible teaches us that two different roads, there's a wide road and a narrow road. The wide will lead to destruction, the narrow road will lead to life. We need to know that yes, we are in this world, but we're not of this world. We're pilgrims passing by. Our residency is not here, right? There must be a difference if we want to be the church of Christ. If we want to be the church of Christ. If we want to position ourselves so that God's presence will flow through us and that God will glorify himself, there must be a separation. There must be a difference. And the church says, number three, and I need to move quickly here. Number three, through perseverance. Context shows that for 10 days they had been praying. The 120 were in the upper room where they were persevering. They were praying. They did not know what to expect. In fact, they were probably afraid for their own lives. If they did that to Jesus, what would they do to us? They were afraid, but they persevered, right? They prayed. They didn't know what the future would hold. They didn't know what Jesus meant by when he said, I'm going to send one just like me. I'm going to send the comfort. He's going to come. They didn't know, but they persevered. And they waited. They did not waver. I think today and age, the church, the Pentecostal church, When I say the Pentecostal church, I'm not talking about a denomination. I'm talking about a church that is filled with the power of God, right? The Pentecostal church needs to be a church that perseveres, that pushes. You know, hard times will come. We need to persevere. It's not easy. It's not easy to be a Christian. It's not easy to live the life that God has called us to live. But we must persevere. Hardships will come. Loss will come. Sickness will come. But we must persevere. We must not throw in the towel. We must persevere for our homes and our marriages. We must pass the time of test. We must focus on the things that God has called us for. Why? Because we are a people that persevere. God is not looking to empower those who are easy to give up. He's not. He's looking for those that say, I will go no matter what. I will do no matter what I have to do because God has called us to do it. And those are the ones that he says, I am going to pour out my power upon them. See, walking in faith means trusting God for the present and the future, regardless of the circumstances. We need to persevere in this Christian walk. And in God's time, he will show us his way, his fruit, his power that we need to push. I love Chris's testimony of him and Melissa as they persevered through a hard time. And many of us have testimonies. Many of us know the testimony of how they persevered and God glorified himself. And there are others who have been quick to throw in the towel and they never get to see the power of God glorify himself in their lives because they gave up too soon. And they didn't give God timing, an opportunity to have his way in their lives. Trust God, for he will turn our mourning into dancing. He will glorify himself. There are so many verses that I can remind you of today, but just one, Matthew 24:13 says, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. The church of God must persevere. How do we inherit Pentecost? How do we receive it? Point four, through obedience. I love that Jesus told them, stay in Jerusalem. And that's what they did. They stood in Jerusalem. They did not know how long. They did not know when or how. But they knew that Christ had said, in a few days, I will send the Comforter. Stay and wait. And that's what they did. They were not afraid that the Roman soldiers would come. Or they may have been afraid, but it wasn't enough to mislead them or to push them out of God's will. No, they were more obedient to what Christ had told them to do than even their own fears. God is calling his people to be a holy people, an obedient people. If we want the power of God, the spirit of Pentecost, then let us do what is right. We know not to lie, don't lie. We know not to cheat, don't cheat. We know not to swear, don't swear. We know not to manipulate, don't manipulate. We know not to, then don't. It's the little things in life. You know, sometimes we're thankful, God, I'm thankful I'm not a fornicator or an adulterer, but we're liars and gossipers and cheaters. Right? And we thank God that we're not those big, ugly sins that everybody can see. But sometimes we're rotten with inside of us because we have allowed the sinful nature to reign within our hearts. And because of that, the power of Pentecost does not exist. See, if we want power, if we want the fulfillment of this promise in our lives, there needs to be obedience. Obedience to all that is holy. Obedience to what we're called to do. What is the Lord trusting us for? What is that he put in our hearts? I can give you personal examples of times when, you know, I personally have even failed. And the Lord, I put in our heart and I didn't come through. And you know, and those times, man, when you feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit saying, you didn't trust me enough for it. You know, I would have shown you my power. I would have shown you my might. You could have done it, you know, not in your own strength, but in my strength. Not in your power, but in my power. How many of us have had those experiences, right? But God is calling us. If we want to enjoy the call, Pentecost, the changing of this world, the changing of this community, the changing of our own families, then we must be obedient to the things that God has called us to be obedient to. And I can give you so many illustrations in scripture of so many people when God called them to be obedient and they were. And their ministries weren't always easy, but they were life-changing. The ministries weren't always easy. Moses said, who am I that you would send me? He was 80 years old. He was an old man. And here from the burning bush, he hears the voice of God that says, I am sending you into Egypt. He answers, who am I? And I love the next verse. God says, I will go with you. In other words, you're right. In your power, you can never liberate the Israelites out of Egypt. Never. But I'm going to send you because I go with you. And because I go with you, you're going to be the greatest leader that the Hebrew people have ever seen. Because I go with you. Who am I? You are no one on your own. And you can never do it. But because you are obedient to the very call on your life, I will go with you and you will be the greatest leader that our Hebrew people have ever seen. Right? We must be obedient to the very thing that God calls us to be if we want Pentecost. And the church says, amen. Number five, the spirit of Pentecost comes through unity. Yes. Through unity. You notice they all stuck together. One people. They gathered, they prayed together, they helped each other. If you continue to read Acts chapter 2, you'll see the need was satisfied through the help of others. If you were here on Friday, you were so encouraged by Betsy Lee's teaching where she spoke about community matters. And if you wasn't, you need to ask her for her notes because that was an incredible teaching when she spoke about community and how we need each other. And when we are united, it is in the spirit of unity that God pours out his power. If we want to be Long Rangers, then we will do it all by ourselves. But if we desire unity, oneness, then we will see God's power manifested in our lives and in our church. Listen, I know that I need to finish, but I want to encourage you. If someone around you begins to speak negative with regard to another one of your brothers or sisters, be bold and say, hey, I want to encourage you not to do that. Be bold. They probably will never talk to you about nobody else again, but that's okay. It's better for you that they don't gossip to you, right? So if somebody comes and wants to destroy the spirit of unity, wants to bring walls between individuals, you are one that cultivates Pentecost, and you say, no, we will gather in a spirit of unity, and if reconciliation is needed, then we bring reconciliation together, because it is the united church that God uses. And I need to finish. The last one is availability. How does the spirit of Pentecost occur? How does it come upon us? Through availability. I love that if you continue to read, as we read, Peter stood up and he preached. He was available. The people, the disciples, that they were available. Use me, God, is what they said. They're the same words of Isaiah, right? Where he said, send me, I am here. When he heard the words of God say, whom shall I send? He was available. You're familiar with the Samaritan who journeyed? And he came across a man that had been stripped and beaten. And the Pharisee left him and the Levite left him. But here comes a Samaritan. And he takes him and heals him. And blesses him and puts him in a hotel and cares for him. He was available and God used him. The Lord only wants to use us if we're available for him. If we're available. Are we available for him to speak into our lives? Available for him to use us? Remember, he wants to use us for the greater good. Not for our own glory, not for our own might. Not that nobody would say, wow, you're so nice, you're so good. God uses you so wonderfully. You pray so nice, you preach so nice, you sing so nice. No, that we would understand that God is using us not to sound good, but for change. For change. The spirit of Pentecost has to bring change. And sometimes it's better not to sound so good and bring change. Not to preach so good and bring change. Not to look so good, but bring change. Hey, when we think about the Hispanic church 30, 40 years ago, and some of you are familiar with this, it was a church that maybe didn't have the nice buildings and didn't have all the vans and didn't have all the influence and didn't have a lot of money because we had just migrated here. But they changed families. Why? Because the power of God flew through that church. And they affected people. Why? They didn't have all the glamour, but they sure had the glory of God. Right? We as a people need to understand this. remember, this is what we're called for. 1 Corinthians 12:7 says, now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. I love that word. 1 Corinthians 12:7, now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit is given for the common good, for a good work, for change, for Pentecost. Someone said, God is looking to pour into people that want to pour into people. God is looking to pour into people who want to pour into people. God is looking to bless somebody who wants to bless somebody. God is looking to give somebody all that they need to help somebody with their need. God is looking to pour into people that want to pour into people. At the end, it's about seeing Jesus glorified. It's about seeing life change. The Lord wants to use us in our availability. Are we available to Him? I'm going to invite you to stand this morning. What is not being filled with the Spirit? Just because we have been a Christian for a long time, that doesn't mean that we're filled with the Spirit. Maybe you've been in this a long time, that doesn't mean that you're filled with the Spirit. Just because you have leadership in the church, positions in the church, maybe you even have the title pastor or official or deacon. I include the senior pastor position there as well. Just because you have titles, it doesn't mean that you're filled with the Spirit. Just because you speak in tongues or preach or teach, that does not mean that you're filled with the Spirit. There are many that speak in tongues and preach and teach, and they're not right with God. They're not right with God. If we want God's presence to manifest itself in us, it will happen if we're steadfast in prayer. It happens through separation, through perseverance, through obedience, through unity, and through availability. It's what whenever you want to know what works, go back to the beginning. You want to know how to work a good matrimony? Go back to Genesis chapter 2, verse 24 and 25, where it says that God brought Adam and Eve together. And there's some teaching there too. God bringing Adam and Eve together. You learn about matrimony as God brings people together. As He brought matrimony together. You want to know about Pentecost? Then we go to Acts chapter 2. These people were steadfast in prayer, separated, persevered, obedient, unity, and available. And God used this church to change the world. Just 300 years later, in a place where Christianity had been illegal, had been a crime, 300 years later is legalized as the religion of that nation. Why? Because of Pentecost. If we want change, the Spirit of God, Pentecost must exist. It's the need of Pentecost. There's an urgency to have Pentecost within the church. An urgency. The Spirit of Pentecost will only channel itself through people into the world. I love what Charles Finney said. When the presence of God is in the church will draw the world in. If the presence of God is not in the church, the world will draw the church out. Let us be a church that believes in Pentecost. Once again, not a denomination, but in the moving of the Spirit of God. Paul says, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Galatians 5:25, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Paul writes in Ephesians 3:16, I pray that out of His glorious riches, He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being. I want to encourage you today There is a need of Pentecost. A need of Pentecost. Let us pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the teaching of your word. For without it, we're lost. We thank you for the teaching of your word, for without it, we're lost. And we thank you, Lord God, for your Holy Spirit that empowers us and gives us all that we need to live the life that you have called us to live. We have heard the great commissioning to go, and we have understood that it's the empowerment of your Holy Spirit that will give us everything that we need to fulfill the great call upon our lives. Let us not focus on how we look when your gifts are functioning through us, but let us focus, Lord God, on the change that is happening in the lives of your people as you are impacting them with your power, oh God. Forgive us, God, of those times when we have just thought that it was good for us. Forgive us, God, of those times. Help us, oh Lord, today to be a people that understand prayer and separation and perseverance and availability, oh God, and obedience, Lord. Help us, Lord God, to be a people that understand perseverance, Lord. Help us. For it is then and only then, Lord God, when we will experience the very thing that we need, God, to live the life that you have called us to live. Father, keep us from being religious, institutionalized. Keep us, Lord God, from the life of Pharisees, live by law and tradition only. Father, we want to be alive and well with your Spirit, Lord, moving and changing. We thank you, Lord, for your word that speaks to us each day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. 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 If you're here today and you feel that you have functioned in routine, in religion, in law, and you've missed out power, today is a day to say, I'm going to make a commitment to live in the spirit of Pentecost. And you want prayer? As we sing this next song, the altar is open. If you're visiting us here today and you don't know Jesus, today is the day of salvation. He brought you here to save you. The Bible says anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Don't leave the same way, but leave changed and transformed and sealed with the Holy Spirit. As we sing this next song, the altar is open.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to this sermon. We pray it blesses and encourages your life.